Hello, everyone. Tiny village. I'm Paul. I'm one of the directors. Put that down. And I'd like to welcome everyone who came in today. And if you'd stand, we'll applaud you all when we're done. But we can also applaud as we go along, because there's so few of you, it'll extend things. From Chelan, Washington, not too far away, Joel Williams, Ginny Jessup, and Marilyn Russell. Are you here? There. And from Mount Vernon, Robert Silnd and Nancy Silnd, is that correct? Slind? Oh, I'll have to put these two around. Thanks. Welcome. Robert and Nancy Slind. And our spiritual director came in, Elaine Olson, right there from St. Paul. And joining our staff, Gregory Rosacco and Paula Rosacco from Trinity, Florida. And we've got that Florida weather coming. Honest, really. It didn't snow today. And joining our teaching staff, Nancy Winder and Larry Howard from Seattle. Did I miss anyone who came in today? Welcome to you all. And then would everyone stand who has to be leaving us tomorrow? We have some dear staff members going out as well as dear folks. Let's send you out with a blessing and a prayer. Wondrous God, you are with us near, you are with us far off. Be with these wonderful brothers and sisters who have joined us. Be with them as they travel. Be with them as they arrive home. Give them merry hearts as they journey throughout their lives, and bring them back to Holden again with a warm welcome. We'll be here. In spirit, if not in body. In your name we pray, O Jesus. Amen. Who's that? There's Cliff.
My name is Cliff, and I have the privilege of being a creative resource resident here. And if you'd like to know more about what that is, please come up to me, and I'd love to have a chat about that. Tonight, you'll need two books, Renewing Worship and the Lutheran Book of Worship, so have those handy at the ready. But what I'd like to do is invite you to begin our time together with some body prayer, and would encourage you, if you are able, to stand and to do what I do.
Got to reach.
Our first hymn will be number 199 in Renewing Worship, Give Me a Clean Heart. And stay seated for this. We're only going to play the left-hand side of the page. The band is going to start off. We'll play it through you once. Then we'll invite you to sing once. We're going to do a little improv after that and then invite you to sing once again. Thank you.
You sounded wonderful.
So did you. Yeah.
So did they. I'd like to share with you these words from Scripture, one of my favorite passages from the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 4. Listen closely for the Word of God and pay especially close attention to the number of times the word blessing is spoken. So God told Abram, "Leave your country, your family, and your ancestral home for a land that I will show you. I'll make you a great nation and bless you. I'll make you famous. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. Those who curse you, I will curse. And the families of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left just as God said. Holy wisdom, holy word.
I love the word blessing. In Hebrew, if you go back to the original source of the word berakah, it has an image behind the word, and the image is of a pool of water in a desert oasis. Isn't that a blessing? In the most arid, driest part, when you're parched and on the verge perhaps of even life and death, to find a desert oasis with a pool of cool, clean, refreshing water is indeed a blessing. I'd like to share with you a story about blessing, and this is a true story. The year was 1971. Now, I realize there are some folks in this room who weren't even around in 1971, so I'm showing my age, but I was just turning 25, and I had a wonderful opportunity to travel to Taiwan for a summer. Through a joint program through the Presbyterian Church and the Reformed Church in America, to teach Chinese college students English. I later found out that they knew English far better than I did. They just wanted to speak it. They wanted to have conversation. They wanted to know how to use this language. Well, I was very excited because I had never even been out of the country before. And here I was going halfway around the world to Taiwan to spend a whole summer with a group of 11 other students. I couldn't wait. Now, you have to remember that back in 1971, some of us looked a little differently than we do now. I had long hair. I know that's hard to believe, but I had hair down to my shoulders. It was very, very long. And I had, not a goatee, but I had a Fu Manchu mustache, a big, bushy Fu Manchu mustache that I took great pride in. Well, a few weeks before we left, I found out that at that particular time, because of the political turmoil and because of what was going on over there and over here and with President Nixon, anybody remember him? That if a foreigner came into Taiwan with long hair, they would cut it off. And if you had facial hair, they would ask you to shave it off. Now, I had a big decision to make. Now, it may not sound that way to many people, but you know, it was good hair. I wish I had it now, but I don't. So I thought, well, why start an international incident? And so I cut my hair shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter until it was right about here, in a good Beatle haircut, early Beatle. And then I got my razor out, and I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't shave off that Fu Manchu mustache. So I left for Taiwan, and I decided I would bring my saxophone with me, not the soprano, but the tenor. So I had a big case, and inside the case, I stuffed all my underclothes. And so when I got to customs, there were a lot of strange looks, and they wanted me to open the sax case. And they had the greatest time picking up my underwear and showing it to everybody, and I think that's what saved me. I think they were so engrossed in my underwear that they never really noticed the hair or the mustache, and they whisked me through, and I was cool. Now, we traveled around from Taipei to Kaohsiung to Taichung to Tainan, and I found myself in Tainan with two other students with me, and we were in a student hostel, and we made wonderful friends with these Chinese students. And one of the things that I found out about them was that they were so intent on learning English, they wanted to speak it all the time. And in trying to translate it, they had to use a little trick. They had to write the Chinese characters in the palm of their hand. So if ever you asked them a question, or they didn't quite understand, or they were trying to find a translation, you would see them writing in their hand with their finger. Well, a few weeks after being there, we went up into the mountains, and we went to stay at a friend's house up in the mountains. Now, you may not know it, but the island of Taiwan was Formosa. It was the indigenous Formosans, Taiwanese, who lived there. After the Second World War, the Mandarins came over and basically pushed the Taiwanese away, out of sight, and they took over the island. It's another long story we won't get into. But up on the mountain were the indigenous Formosans. And many of them at that time had never seen people from different countries. So, two of my students were taking me on a walk through the mountains on this winding path. And there I was with my long hair and my Fu Manchu mustache, walking along, and villagers would come by, kind of stare, and keep on going. Until, around the corner, walked this ancient old man. He looked like he was 100 years old. He had on flip-flops, kind of a long, sari kind of clothing, kind of a matte hat. And he had a real Fu Manchu mustache. I mean, it just kind of hung down all the way. So, as we walked closer, he gave me a strange look and stopped right in front of me. And so the student said, we must bow to him because he is older and his wisdom. So we bowed. And then he said something to the students. And I said, what did he say? He said, how can one so young have so much hair on his face? And the student said, we don't grow hair until we're much older. And I said, tell him that in my country that even the young grow facial hair. And then this old man bowed very low and said something. I looked at my students, and they said, he is bowing to your great wisdom. My great wisdom? I'm only 25, just because my mustache is bushier than his? And I did the only thing I could. I bowed lower, as low as I could go, and I told the students to tell him, no, it is I who bow to your wisdom. This old Chinese man, this sage, got up and he looked at me and he raised his hand and he said something. He kind of nodded his head and walked away. And I asked my students, what did he say? He said, well, it's very hard for us to translate, but he said, from the deep well, I offer blessing. From the deep well, I offer blessing. I don't think he knew Hebrew. But from the deep well, I offer blessing. And I thought about that for a long time. In fact, I thought about it for 20 years and then wrote this song called Wellspring.
If I could, I'd like to take just a few more minutes to share with you a journal entry I wrote just the other day that I think has some bearing on the song. I've been reading a wonderful book by Barbara Brown Taylor with the provocative title Leaving Church. Interesting book. On page 195, she writes, "I had developed a dependence on adrenaline. I'd learned to live on the edge." And here's what I wrote. Yep, that's me. "It's an exciting place to be and live on the edge, on adrenaline. But it takes its toll. No matter how creative, stimulating, and exciting, it wears one down physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. I have been living on the edge of many things." Barbara Brown Taylor cites panic is what she's living on the edge of. And then I write, "Yes, but what is it for me? What's it been? Fear? Fear of facing an empty center, of being spiritually isolated perhaps, of having no ultimate meaning and purpose, of coming to grips with a spiritual journey gone awry? Is my busyness, my adrenaline rush, my living on the edge, little more than a facade so I won't have to deal with what could be ultimate aloneness? Slowing down here at Holden brings it all to the surface, where I have to peer into the deep existential well of my being. You know, I used to revel in that pool of wonder and awe, splashing in the wellspring of the holy. Somehow I went astray, or at the very least wandered away, or perhaps even loaded my backpack with rocks." That's an old dream. "And headed off to explore a more sensible direction. But wait, is that a still small voice calling? Beckoning me back to the center, inviting me to wade and splash in the spiritual pool of holy delight? Simply as the Creator's child, without any theological or ecclesiastical judgment? What does that voice sound like? The wind? Waves? Music?" And the words I wrote for Wellspring come back to mind. You see, there are words to this song. "I'll sing you a song from the depths of my soul to feed you and seed you wherever you go. It comes from the well of my being deep inside, a double-edged sword of illusion. Open up your heart, open up your mind, a wellspring to ease your confusion." Little did I realize what I wrote. It took me 20 years after the experience in Taiwan to compose it, and now an additional 15 to begin understanding what I really wrote in the first place. I need to affirm that I have been seated and fed at many points during my journey, even when I felt spiritually alone. The tricky phrase is a double-edged sword of illusion. Perhaps that's the challenge of faith. There are two sides that cut across our path: choices, alternatives, decisions, and balance points that cut through all our illusions, leaving but a simple response: open up. Open up your heart. Open up your mind. It's when I open up, listen for the double-edged voice, so simple and yet so complex, that a wellspring can splash up within to bathe and cleanse and ease any confusion. Now, it may not remove the confusion, but it provides clarity like the crystal clear creeks and lakes here at Holden. Enough to see my own reflection and meditate on the countenance of Christ that is hidden somewhere in the eyes of my soul. We're going to close with a song that starts about eyes. It's a song you know very well. We're going to do it in a little different version. Some would call it funk. It's number 448. You will recognize the tune. Thank you.
Let us play it once through, and then you can stand and join us. Amazing grace, your eyes, they may have been blind at some point, but they're opened by God's grace. And if we really look deep, deep inside, is there not a wellspring deep inside of each one of us? A holy place, a place of blessing, where we feel the Creator's touch, embrace, breath. And when we do, it's a blessing to be shared with others. So go forth tonight and share that blessing, knowing that the wellspring of Jesus' love, the Holy Spirit and God is with you now and forevermore. Go in peace, my friends. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.